If you are operating anywhere in the healthcare space right now, you can feel it. The pressure to protect patient data, that's electronic protected health information, or PHI, is just immense.
It really is. I mean, this isn't just about ticking a compliance box anymore.
No, it's fundamentally an organizational survival challenge, and that's why we're doing a deep dive into the reality of HIPAA compliance in 2025, because the stakes have, well, they've evolved dramatically.
They certainly have. We've seen the Office for Civil Rights, the OCR, dramatically ramp up its enforcement actions, and the costs. The costs absolutely reflect
They're
that.
not talking about small fines anymore.
Not at all. The maximum statutory penalty for certain tiers of HIPAA violations is now at $1.5 million. And that's annually per category of violation.
Wow.
And that number doesn't even begin to touch on the hidden costs we'll get into later.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to give you a real blueprint, a shortcut really, to understanding the essential proactive IT security strategies and compliance requirements you need. You need them to survive and, frankly, to thrive in this environment.
And we have to start by setting the context for 2025. You might be asking, why is it so much more volatile now than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Good question.
The answer is pretty simple.
Yeah.
We expanded the attack surface exponentially.
Okay, tell us more about that. What exactly shifted to cause this expansion?
Well, it's the whole rapid digitization of care. Think about the massive, and I mean massive, shift to telehealth services over the last few years.
Of course.
Suddenly, you have patient data flying across home Wi-Fi networks, personal devices, and on the back end, organizations are migrating everything, patient records, billing systems, to the cloud.
Which is more efficient, I assume, but.
It's efficient, yes, but it introduces entirely new security models. And then there's the explosion of interconnected medical devices, the Internet of Medical Things, or IoMT. Every single one of them is a new endpoint on the network, a potential backdoor.
So we've got a much bigger, less centralized target for attackers who are themselves getting faster and more sophisticated. How is the regulatory body, the OCR, responding to all this?
They're responding with teeth. The OCR has explicitly signaled that 2025 will see highly increased enforcement.
Okay.
And they're specifically targeting organizations that show what they call willful neglect or repeated violations. This is the critical shift in thinking you have to grasp.
So it's not just about fixing things after a breach anymore.
Exactly. They're moving away from purely corrective action and toward proactively seeking out and penalizing systemic known failures. A reactive approach is no longer a viable strategy.
You have to anticipate the risks before they actually happen.
You do. And that anticipation starts with recognizing the patterns of failure. Our sources clearly show that despite all the fancy technology available, human error and organizational oversight are still the leading causes of data breaches.
So we've compiled the seven most common and maybe most preventable IT mistakes that are leading to these huge violations right now.
Let's get into them.
Okay, let's start with number one, which sounds easy but often falls short in practice. Inadequate risk assessment protocols.
This is the absolute foundation of the security rule, and yet it's so often the weakest link. Organizations treat the risk analysis like this frustrating annual checkbox exercise.
They hire a consultant, get a report, and file it away.
Exactly. File it and forget about it for the next 11 months.
So, what's the real danger of that kind of compliance-first approach versus a security-first approach?
Well, a compliance-driven assessment is always looking backward. But a security-driven one, which is what 2025 demands, is ongoing. It's predictive. It has to account for new technologies, new vendors, changing workflows.
So, if you installed a new EMR module 3 months ago, but your risk assessment is from 8 months ago.
You have a massive unaddressed vulnerability sitting right there. A proper protocol needs continuous monitoring and at least a quarterly review that's tied to any significant system change.
That sets us up perfectly for the second deadly mistake, insufficient employee training and awareness. Because if your people aren't aware, they're the ones who create the security gaps the risk assessment missed.
That's it, precisely. The most sophisticated firewall in the world is, it's useless if a staff member shares a password or falls for a really well-crafted phishing email,
Right.
or, and this is critical, accesses patient records without a legitimate reason. It's not just a technical failure, it's improper data handling. The training has to be mandatory, it has to be engaging, and it has to be tested with things like mock phishing campaigns.
That leads us right to mistake number three, weak access controls and authentication. This feels so basic, yet we still see reports of shared credentials or single-factor logins. Why is that still a thing?
Because it's often seen as inconvenient.
Ah, the convenience trap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But inconvenience cannot compromise security, especially not in healthcare. In 2025, if you're just relying on simple passwords, you're just asking for trouble. The regulatory requirement, it's now mandating multi-factor authentication, MFA guy everywhere.
And beyond MFA.
You need precise role-based access controls. This makes sure a lab tech only sees lab results, not the billing history. It prevents that unauthorized access we were just talking about.
Number four, and this one feels truly fundamental, unencrypted data storage and transmission.
Yeah, encryption is your safety net. It really is. If PHI is properly encrypted, and say a device is stolen, that data may not be considered compromised under IP.
Because it's unusable without the key.
Right, it's scrambled. So failing to encrypt PHI, both at rest, on a hard drive, and in transit, when it's moving over a network, that immediately escalates a simple physical theft into a massive reportable data breach.
It's the difference between losing a laptop and getting a seven-figure fine from the OCR.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Okay, moving to mistake number five, and one of the most preventable, outdated software and unpatched systems.
This is the low-hanging fruit for attackers. Vendors release patches to fix known security holes. If you don't apply those patches quickly, you are essentially running systems with advertised flaws.
It's like leaving your front door unlocked with a sign that says unlocked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it gets complex in healthcare, where you might have specialized medical devices, MRI machines, lab equipment that run on older operating systems and can't just be patched without the vendors okay.
So for those systems you can't easily patch, what's the strategy?
You have to use compensating controls. Since you can't fix the device itself, you isolate it. You put it on its own little network segment, you restrict who it can talk to, and you monitor all the traffic going to and from it. For everything else, though, robust patch management is non-negotiable.
Mistake number six really highlights the risk of your partners. Lack of business associate agreements, or BAAs. You might be secure, but what about your billing vendor?
And healthcare relies so heavily on third parties for everything. Cloud storage, medical transcription.
Everything.
And every single one of those companies that handles your PHI is a business associate. If you don't have a properly executed compliant BAA with them and they have a breach,
you're on the hook.
You, the covered entity, are fully liable. It's not enough to just ask if they're compliant. You have to document and have that contract in place.
And finally, mistake number seven, inadequate incident response planning. This is when all that preparation or lack of it really shows.
Look, you will experience a security incident. That is the baseline reality of 2025. Without a clear, tested plan, organizations, they just fail. They fail to detect the breach early, they fail to contain the damage, and critically, they fail to report it within HIPAA's strict 60-day notification window.
And scrambling to figure out who to call after the breach happens is not a plan.
It is a recipe for disaster. It dramatically increases your financial and legal penalties. A good plan means drills, simulations, not just a binder sitting on a shelf.
Okay, that takes us from the common pitfalls to the proactive solutions. If those 7 points are the traps, then the HIPAA security rule provides the framework to get out. We can frame this as a comprehensive HIPAA audit checklist.
Let's do it. We can start with the administrative safeguards. These are the policies, procedures, and people that form the whole governance foundation.
Where do these administrative safeguards usually break down? Is it bad policy design, or is it more of a failure to execute?
It's almost always a failure of execution and, frankly, resource allocation.
Yeah.
For example, you're required to designate a qualified security officer. But in a smaller practice, that person might also be the billing manager.
And security becomes their fourth or fifth priority.
Exactly. The policy exists, but the dedicated resources just aren't there. Administratively, leadership has to truly prioritize security.
And what about that risk analysis piece we talked about? How does a top-tier organization handle that administratively?
They make it an active verb, not a noun. They conduct those risk analyses at least annually, sure, but they also bake a mandatory risk review into every single change management process. They have clear, non-punitive procedures so employees feel safe reporting mistakes.
Next, let's move into the safeguards that can get overlooked in our digital world. The physical safeguards. We worry so much about firewalls, we forget about actual doors and locks.
We do. And physical access is often the easiest attack vector. This means having real controls that restrict physical access to your servers and the facilities that house them. If someone can just walk into your server closet,
then all your fancy encryption doesn't matter much.
Not at all. Your whole network is vulnerable.
And I imagine this extends out to the workstations themselves, right? Not just the server room.
Oh, absolutely. You need detailed workstation security measures. Are screens positioned so that PHI isn't visible to people just walking by? Do workstations automatically log off after 5 minutes of inactivity? These little details prevent enormous breaches.
What about the media? Old hard drives, USB sticks?
They must be covered. That falls under media controls. You need clear, documented procedures for the receipt, removal, and most importantly, the proper disposal of electronic media containing PHI. Simply wiping a hard drive isn't good enough anymore.
Okay, finally, we get to the technical safeguards, the technology protecting the electronic data itself.
This is where we demand robust access controls. Beyond the required MFA, this means unique user IDs, no shared logins, clear emergency access procedures for a crisis, and mandatory automatic log-off.
And with that expanding attack surface, how critical are audit trails now? Are simple logs enough anymore?
Forensics demands much more. We have to deploy robust audit controls. This means recording and examining system activity, but also critically correlating that activity across different systems. Simple logs tell you what happened. Proper audit controls, especially with AI, can tell you who did it, where they were, and why it was unusual.
And for data leaving the network.
Transmission security. This means using secure protocols like TLS/SSL and ensuring data can't be altered in transit without being detected.
So that covers the baseline for compliance. But as we said at the top, surviving 2025 means moving beyond the minimums. It means proactive security architecture, which starts with a huge shift, embracing zero trust.
Zero trust architecture, or ZTA, is. It's probably the most fundamental strategic shift in network defense today. The old model assumed everything inside your network was safe.
The castle and moat.
Exactly. And that model is dead in the age of cloud and remote work.
Okay, let's unpack that. What's the core idea?
It's simple. Never trust, always verify. No user, no device, no application is trusted by default, regardless of its location. Every single access request has to be continuously verified.
To verify continuously, you must need incredible visibility, which leads us to advanced threat detection. What tools are becoming mandatory?
You need systems that can see the whole picture. We're talking about sophisticated security information and event management systems, or SIEMs. They don't just collect logs, they correlate millions of events across your entire infrastructure.
So they use AI to figure out what's normal behavior.
Precisely. So when a privileged user starts accessing files they've never touched before at 3 a.m. from an unusual location, the system flags the pattern, not just a single failed login. That's advanced detection.
We mentioned the huge shift to the cloud. And there's a big security nuance there, the shared responsibility model.
That nuance is absolutely crucial. A cloud provider like AWS or Azure, they secure the infrastructure, the servers, the physical hardware. But you, the covered entity, are always responsible for securing your data.
How you configure it, who gets access.
Exactly. You still need those BAAs, but you also have to actively audit your own setup.
Mm-hmm.
Exposed cloud storage buckets are one of the most common and frankly most embarrassing causes of huge breaches.
Okay, let's talk emerging tech. AI and machine learning are exciting, but they're also data hungry. That creates new risks.
For sure. They're powerful tools, but they process massive volumes of PHI. And there's a risk that even if the source data is anonymized, a sophisticated AI could, through pattern recognition, actually re-identify individuals.
Creating a privacy risk you never intended.
Precisely.
And what about all those devices? The IoMT, infusion pumps, monitors?
Every one is a potential entry point for an attacker to pivot into your main network. The only real solution here is strict network segmentation. You have to isolate those medical devices, put them on their own network, and keep a constantly updated inventory.
Let's turn to the grim reality, the true cost of getting this wrong. We know the max fine is $1.5 million per category, but how does the OCR decide on the amount?
It's tiered based on culpability. Tier 1 is an unknowing violation, which might start low, but Tier 4, willful neglect that is not corrected, carries a penalty of $50,000 per violation up to that $1.5 million cap. And regulators are very aggressive in pursuing those high-tier fines.
But the fines are just the start, right? What's the biggest unanticipated cost organizations face after a breach?
It's the sheer complexity and length of the remediation. You have to hire expensive forensics experts, pay legal fees, fund credit monitoring for affected patients for years, and then watch your cyber insurance premiums just skyrocket. The disruption to your operations can cost far more than the actual fine.
And the reputational damage.
It can be irreparable. Losing patient trust leads directly to losing patients, and it becomes incredibly hard to recruit good staff. We also have to mention the most severe risk, criminal charges. Individuals can face imprisonment for intentional, malicious disclosure of PHI.
So to fight all this, preparation is everything. And the core of that defense isn't technology, it's documentation.
Documentation is your legal proof that you tried. IPA requires you to keep records of policies, training, risk assessments, everything, for at least 6 years. If you say you did the training, you have to be able to prove who attended and what was covered.
And the value of a dress rehearsal, a mock audit, can't be overstated.
They're essential. They help you find those forgotten BAAs or those outdated policies before an external auditor does. Our sources confirm the value of partnering with organizations that specialize in these kinds of compliance reviews and continuous monitoring, like Technigian.
So to summarize, compliance in 2025 really relies on proactive strategies. It's about deploying zero trust, enforcing MFA everywhere, and locking down every third-party contract with a strong BAA.
And that technology has to be backed by a culture of compliance. Leadership has to commit resources, and critically, staff have to be encouraged to report potential security incidents, even their own mistakes, without fear of punishment.
Because they're afraid to admit they clicked a bad link.
Yes, and that fear just makes breaches worse. Reporting has to be seen as a responsible act that protects everyone, not a failure.
That perfectly synthesizes our blueprint for survival. Now, we've spent a lot of time today focused on the HIPAA security rule, the safeguards for electronic PHI. But as we wrap up, here's a final thought for you to consider. What is the fundamental difference between the HIPAA security rule and the HIPAA privacy rule?
It's the distinction that grounds all of this.
The privacy rule governs how PHI can be used and disclosed, who gets to see it, and why. The security rule, on the other hand, focuses specifically on the safeguards, technical, physical, and administrative required to protect the confidentiality and integrity of electronic PHI. Understanding that difference is really the first step toward effective governance in 2025.